There's a growing legal storm over Wisconsin's new legislative district maps, as expected. We are required by law to update those maps every 10 years after the census results to make sure representation is as equal as possible. But in anticipation that the Republican-controlled state legislature and Democratic Governor Tony Evers may not agree right away on new maps, both sides have already gone to court. How the various lawsuits play out could have a big impact on our 2022 elections. We want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the current state of Wisconsin's election maps? Do you think that they fairly represent the state? What would you like to see change? What do you think about the process we use? Do you think that there should be a negotiation between Republican lawmakers and the Democratic governor? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capital Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob.
Well, redistricting has been on your mind lately with the new podcast dropping on this show, among other places, tomorrow. With this current process, though, Sean, what is supposed to happen by law? What would a normal, quote-unquote, process look like?
I don't know what you say the normal process would look like, but what's supposed to happen, what has to happen, is that every 10 years, we count everybody up in the United States under the U.S. Census, and we use that information of how many people there are and where they live to redraw district lines. I mean, fundamentally, that is what we're doing every 10 years, is making sure that all of those districts are roughly equal in population, or in the case of the congressional districts, almost exactly equal in population.
I don't know if it's normal, but a typical process in Wisconsin when we have divided government is lawmakers come up with something, the governor disagrees, a court decides it. And here we go into the courts now, Sean. I think a few lawsuits going on. State Democrats filed one asking a federal court to step in the likely event that the legislator and the governor can't agree on a new map. Why are they going into a federal court there?
This is kind of a sign of where they want to fight this out, I think. I mean, this lawsuit was filed by Democrats the day after that detailed census data came out. So there was some speculation up to that point on where Republicans would want to be, where Democrats would want to be, knowing that this thing was going to get fought out in court this year with divided government. Democrats made it clear this is where we want to take our fight. Federal courts have had a hand in map drawing the last few times that it's been drawn by a court in Wisconsin. And in this case, they are going to a 3-judge federal panel in the Western District of Wisconsin. These cases go to 3-judge panels. And in this case, they drew a 3-judge panel with 2 judges from who were appointed or nominated by Democratic presidents, and 1 judge who was nominated by a Republican president.
Then the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, a conservative legal organization, asked the Wisconsin State Supreme Court to plan to get involved and take over redistricting in the likely event that the governor and lawmakers don't agree. Why would Republicans want to go to the state court system and straight to the state Supreme Court?
You have in Wisconsin a 4-3 conservative majority. And again, this wasn't exactly a given. The 4th judge making up that 4-judge conservative majority is Brian Hagedorn, who has definitely gone against Republicans on a number of high-profile cases recently, specifically election cases. So I think the prevailing wisdom is that Brian Hagedorn is not like a given in these cases, depending on what's challenged. But this is, again, a sign of where the parties want to be. In this case, it's not a party, but it's one of their allies, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, a conservative ally of Republicans, took this case to the court and said, if the legislature and the governor can't draw a map, Wisconsin Supreme Court, we want you to consider it.
And Wisconsin Republicans also went to the U.S. Supreme Court now to try to shut down the Democratic federal court lawsuits. They're trying to go straight to the top to block that.
Yeah, absolutely. And this would be unusual for the U.S. Supreme Court to step in and tell a federal court, don't do this, because federal courts have a long history of doing this. But you have different justices on the U.S. Supreme Court this time around. You have a 6-3 conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme Court this time around. So Wisconsin Republicans are giving that a try. They want to block that federal court action so they can handle it in state court.
Now, Republicans in the state legislature, they have the first step here. They have to draw some maps. Some leading Republicans have said, hey, we want to disrupt our current boundaries as little as possible. We want to honor current things and tweak them a little. How does that compare to their approach 10 years ago?
Yeah, compared to 10 years ago, they tweaked things. Tweak would not be the word, okay? They definitely changed things a lot. They're passing this resolution today in the legislature, and I think the key phrase is retain as much as possible. It appears in this resolution. I think that's the going theme there, is that Republicans want that map that they drew when they had single-party control of state government in 2011. They want that map to survive for another 10 years. When they drew the map that year, they changed a lot. They moved a lot of people around in terms of which districts they were in. This time around, they're saying, let's keep it as is. That map has helped them preserve majorities for the past decade.
A lot of balls in the air here, Sean. When do we need a map in place to have an election? I'm guessing spring of next year?
You do hear some debate on this between attorneys for the legislature and, attorneys who are representing the Elections Commission, who actually have to, run that election. I think that one of the key things now that is on the calendar is that candidates have to start circulating nomination papers in April of next year. And the Elections Commission has said, actually, we would like to have this all settled by March of next year so that we can get ready for those nomination papers. Whether or not those are hard deadlines or something a court could move remain to be seen, but that's sort of the next thing, is circulating those nomination papers next spring. That's the key thing to watch for.
And speaking of deadlines, Sean, you've been busily working on one for Mapped Out, the new podcast. It's going to drop, among other places, here on Central Time tomorrow. Give us a quick sneak preview before I let you go.
Yeah, I mean, Mapped Out is definitely tied to the current redistricting process, but it's really an attempt to take a big picture look at, there's really no bigger deal in the Wisconsin legislature that's going to happen in this session or that happened 10 years ago when it comes to political power. So this is a look at how that comes together and how it came together 10 years ago and has turned what is, by most definitions, a purple state into a red state in practice.
Sean, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks, Rob.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. You can hear more from him, as I mentioned, tomorrow here on Central Time with Mapped Out. Maurice Shepard joins us now for more on the redistricting process. He teaches political science at Madison College. Maurice, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Good. Well, let's pick up where Sean just left off, saying there's a lot at stake in this process. How big a deal are these maps for the next 10 years here in Wisconsin?
I think they're very big. In terms of redistricting, there's a lot of research about this. And the three big areas, I think, for everyone to pay attention to, one is competitiveness. When some individuals push back against the Republican drawn maps, they make the argument that because it's not proportional, the vote is not proportional to representation, that actually hurts competitiveness. A second area in terms of why this is important is public policy, in that these are the individuals that are, for the next 10 years, the individuals that will serve in the state legislature. I'll just focus on the state legislature here for a moment. They are the ones that will make public policy for everyone across the state. So it could be a policy such as legalizing recreational marijuana. I know that in terms of more recent public polling, they show that has a lot of, once again, public support, or tax policy. But the important point as it relates to policy is that policy is about what government does to serve the citizens. And the final point, third point, is political legitimacy. That Wisconsinites want to know that their government actually represents them, and that these are the people that they select, not that the elected officials have selected them. And if you have a higher level of faith in your government, in the institutions of government, research shows that provides a much more stable political environment. So competitiveness, public policy, and legitimacy, those are important reasons. Those are reasons why redistricting matters.
Maurice, I've heard the argument that partisanship, extreme partisanship, can be driven by this kind of gerrymandering. For if I'm a Democrat in a safe Democratic district or a Republican in a safe Republican district, I've got no motivation at all to support a moderate in my party who's going to work to build consensus. Is there something to that?
The research on that, quite honestly, is all over the map. And actually, some of the research that I've looked at that actually provides, I think, probably the a clear explanation of this comes out of the, once again, European politics. But a lot of it, in terms of political polarization, a lot of it is driven. And again, one party does not have a monopoly on polarization. Mm-hmm. It's on the left, it's on the right, it's Republican, it's Democrat. But a main reason why this is driven is that for the political parties and the political candidates, quite honestly, they have been rewarded for their extreme behavior. It's easier to send a negative message out than it is to take time to craft a more positive message. It's easier to raise money with a negative message than it is, again, either a softer message or a more complicated message. So linking partisan gerrymandering to all the ills of politics, the research on this is mixed. It isn't quite as clear as maybe some would have us believe. But political polarization is part of it.
We're talking about redistricting in Wisconsin with Madison College political scientist Maurice Shepherd, and with you if you join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of our current maps in Wisconsin, of the process, the way we draw these maps? Do you want to see, as some have suggested, as some other states have done, some kind of outside third party, somehow less partisan group, organization, whatever, draw the maps instead of Republicans or Democrats or whoever happens to be in charge in a particular year? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Right now, we're picking up the conversation about redistricting, including several lawsuits over redistricting here in Wisconsin, with Madison College political scientist Maurice Shepherd. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. Do you think we should change the way we draw these maps in Wisconsin, or do you think we have a pretty good system that represents the state pretty well? Call in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Maurice, we've seen some other states have independent commissions draw maps in Wisconsin. That hasn't happened here in Wisconsin. What do you think of that as an alternative system?
Sure. Well, across the United States, there are three sort of methods for redrawing districts. One is, once again, the legislative method that we use here in Wisconsin. The second one is a commission where maybe a group of retired judges are appointed to serve, once again, to draw those maps. Third might be a hybrid, a combination of legislative and a commission. I think that what's happening actually right now in Wisconsin is that people have really latched on to this, and maybe this doesn't get a lot of attention, but at the county level, a lot of county governments are actually putting in place sort of non-traditional methods to redraw local election maps. Milwaukee, I think they have a brand new a county board of retired judges. Dane County, they got a new group of board of appointed citizens. And Brown County is another one. I'm not sure exactly what they have in Brown County. It's a Citizens Redistricting Advisory Subcommittee. But the point is that Wisconsinites, those that are concerned about redistricting, they're not just sort of sitting around waiting for someone else to do the work. At the county level, at least, they're moving forward.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi. A few weeks ago, we had a picnic in Solon Springs for the Douglas County Republican Party. And a lot of us agree that our state, our country, is under attack. So we feel strongly that Republicans need to fight tooth and nail to maintain our majorities. For example, if the Wisconsin people had the opportunity to vote on these 15,000 refugees in Fort McCoy, we would not have supported that. But the Democrats got it done because of the governor. So we need to fight for our political interests at all costs to defend our country.
At all costs, I want to ask you, Jeff, I mean, are you willing to sacrifice voting in some ways, representative government to... Oh, Jeff hung up. I'm sorry. I wanted to follow up with him some there. But it's not an uncommon attitude. I think, Maurice, our goals are important enough that we can stretch democracy a little bit to meet it.
Yeah, and I understand exactly where Jeff is coming from. That, and you can... whatever public policy issue you want, it could be immigration, it could be, again, tax policy, transportation policy. What's critical here is, and at the core of this is for Democrats and Republicans, you know, once we get sort of the electioneering part of it taken care of, then we need to focus on actual public policy. I will say this, and not in a partisan or critical way, but I think for both the Republican and Democratic Party, in some ways, you know, we all need to get back to sort of first principles, right? What do you stand for? And putting forward policies that help all citizens. Again, political ideology is good, and there will have to be some polarization, I guess, there. But in some cases, some of the, once again, sort of the election redistricting lawsuits and that sort, they're important, but they're muddying the picture. What our elected officials are supposed to do is work for the people and not the other way around.
Let's go back to our callers now. Andy is with us in Appleton. Andy, hello.
Good afternoon. Pleasantries.
What did you want to bring up, Andy?
I was trying to figure out, with all the political movement we had for this big blue wave and electing Biden and senators that were Democratic, because we were so, as a voter, disgusted with Republican behavior and the policies that they had. It's kind of the emotion that was taking place at the time. And then electing a Democratic governor, and yet the Republican numbers in the state legislators went up. Now, I was trying to figure out why the blue wave didn't transfer to the local level. And the only explanation I ever thought of was the way the district lines were drawn, that my vote for the local legislators was pointless.
Andy, I gotcha. Thanks for calling in. And Democrats have pointed to narrow victories in many of those races. Andy mentioned a more substantial victory for Tammy Baldwin in her Senate race, but a consistent majority in the legislature for Republicans. Is that in and of itself, Maurice, a sign that the maps were skewed?
There have been a number of studies to show that, again, and there's... And this was a key issue in the Supreme Court case, Gill versus Whitford, I think that's the name of it, from 2018, that there's nothing in the law that says, or in the state constitution that says, election results have to be proportional to the vote. But there have been a number of studies, statistical analysis, quantitative analysis, that do point to a disproportion, overly so, one that wouldn't naturally happen. So there's evidence out there to show that, yes, in terms of the way that there is partisan gerrymandering in the state of Wisconsin, and even in the Supreme Court case that I mentioned a moment ago, the U.S. Supreme Court justices, they threw that case out because the plaintiff didn't have standing, but they did voice concern about partisan gerrymandering and the negative impact that it can have on, again, competitiveness, policy, and the issues of political legitimacy. So those issues are out there. The only thing I would say to Andy, once again, and don't give up hope, is, you know, things change. And right now, again, even though during this last census, Wisconsin's population only grew by, I think, 4%, there are areas of the state that are growing faster than others, particularly in the Madison area and the area between Madison and Milwaukee. The state doesn't gain an additional, I'm just thinking right now in terms of congressional seats, a congressional seat, but again, the population count changes, people move, there's going to be, particularly in terms of congressional seats, Representative Ron Kind is retiring. again, things change. So I would just say to Andy, you know, just hold on. You know, things aren't, may not be as bleak as they may seem right now.
Time for one more caller. Luke is with us in Green Bay. Luke, hello.
Hi. I'm calling. You know, we're talking about gerrymandering and redistricting here. And my point, as I've been listening here, is essentially the current districting that we have. We know that the amount of data and things that have been crunched to create the districts we have, we know that they've created sort of an unfair playing field, you know. And I think whatever your political persuasion is, that as long as the sort of the playing field is fair and level, you know, we should be able to accept, you know, victory or defeat. But I think the problem with gerrymandering and where we're at currently as a state is that it discourages, you know, civic engagement. If people feel like they think their vote is worth something less than somebody else's in another district.
I gotcha, Luke. We just have a few moments left. Maurice, your thought, if the maps are skewed, it can lead to disillusionment.
Luke is absolutely on point with that. There are numbers of studies to show that if people feel that if the election process of voting administration, that it's not, once again, sort of fair and even and just, they become disenchanted and participate at lower rates, if at all.
Thanks for that call, Luke. And Maurice, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Been talking to Maurice Shepherd. He teaches political science at Madison College. He was with us today to talk about redistricting in Wisconsin and several lawsuits right now over how new legislative maps will be drawn and who's going to draw them. Earlier, we heard from WPR's own Sean Johnson on the same topic. Tune in tomorrow on Central Time for episode one of Mapped Out, a new podcast looking at redistricting here in Wisconsin. Lessons, if any, from 10 years ago.